Classic Business with Michael Avery, sponsored by Alex Forbes, for insight, advice, and impact.
Welcome back to Classic Business here on Fine Music Radio, your calm in the Cape chaos. Spear REIT, the only regionally focused REIT on the JSE, has once again beaten inflation in its latest half-year results, delivering 5.2% growth in distributable income per share and maintaining a near 99% rent collection rate. The company's strategy of focusing exclusively on the Western Cape is continuing to pay dividends, literally and figuratively, with R1 billion in new acquisitions, a loan to value now below 14%, and two-thirds of its portfolio soon to be powered by solar. It's really a fantastic story, and joining me to unpack the results and what it tells us is Quinton Rossi, CEO of Spear. Quinton, congrats, another set of really solid numbers. I've got to ask you firstly, what you think of yesterday's decision to cancel the Cape Town Marathon? It couldn't have been easy to risk imperiling the future of cementing this race in the global calendar.
Michael, thanks, and appreciate the hearty intro. It's always great to speak to you and to your listeners. I think, Michael, what's important, and not only in our business, but in a general sense, is risk management. I have spoken to numerous people just about how intense the wind was at the early hours of Sunday morning all the way through to probably about 6 a.m. And I think the importance is that the decision that was made was probably made in the best interests of people's safety. The structures and scaffolding and equipment, if they are certified for safe for use and an event occurs that compromises that, it's too much of a risk for the authorities and possibly for the race organizers to continue and then risk the potential loss of life or injury to numerous people. And I think, we have to respect that it was probably not a decision that was made lightly. It was obviously made with thorough consultation, and it's unfortunate, but I think I would rather say cancel the race than somebody having potentially lost their life.
What is the upshot and the lesson here? Obviously, Cape Town would like to cement itself as one of those iconic marathon destinations like New York or London or Tokyo. Do we just relook at when we schedule the race in the calendar to periods of the year? It's always windy in the Western Cape, but there are periods where it's less windy.
Yeah, I think that's probably, in hindsight, one needs to look at some data as to when conditions are slightly more conducive and potentially shift it then. But I think also potentially structures that go up might need to be less complicated, less kind of structures all over the show. But again, that also helps with people management and crowd control. So I think there's obviously a few things that need to be looked at, potentially the route, who knows. But I do think that it's critical and important for Cape Town to cement itself as an incredible marathon destination, because on the day when all things are falling in line, it's a phenomenal race.
Yeah, and it again just further cements Cape Town status as a truly world-class city, tourism destination, place that businesses want to do business. If you look at 91's new HQ, big investment going back into the CBD there. And interestingly, obviously given your regional focus, I was chatting to Tim Harris recently, and they're really trying to build on this next leg of momentum in the CBD. What are you seeing in terms of activity in the CBD at the moment from a letting and tenant perspective?
No, I think the fundamentals in the CBD have really just continued to elevate in terms of tenant demand. What obviously does kind of slow down the activity is a constraint in supply, which bodes well for rental growth for existing landlords. But there is a bit of a shortage of supply that is probably kind of slowing things down a bit. So you're probably going to start to see a lot more development activity taking place within the Cape Town CBD, in addition to the waterfront and peripheries, which is all positive. I mean, Cape Town is the best functioning CBD in South Africa. The interpose between tourist locations, retail, residential, mixed use, commercial, it's safe, it's pedestrianized, and people can flow from Lower Long Street all the way to the top of Kloof Street, all the way up without, call it, fear of reprisal. And I think that really does also establish Cape Town as such an incredible destination all year round. We've got a fully functional CCID. We've got investors like ourselves that have invested into the central city and many other landlords, because we believe that any country must have great cities, and great cities are made and sustained through continued capital investment.
And we know that capital investment is going to face pushback often when you look at rates. And I think Cape Town Mayor Jordan Neil Lewis is taking a very calculated political risk as he looks to reform the city's tariff structure to help finance a set of ambitious new infrastructure projects. Has he struck the right balance here?
Michael, the jury's still out on that. We are fully in support of the City of Cape Town creating a sustainable city of hope. But we are also of the view that it has to be done in line with what can be absorbed by ratepayers over a period of time. And I think that's, you know, the mayor is very clear that he wants to deliver services to everybody. And, you know, in the mayor's own words, a resident in Camps Bay and a resident in Delft are equally important. And we fully agree with that. But from an infrastructure spend perspective, we also need to realize that the ratepayer, which is predominantly the commercial, industrial, retail landlord, can only absorb so much of an operating cost creep on an annualized basis. Because ultimately, you know, what happens is that that impacts the cost of occupancy for tenants, and that impacts the actual financial feasibility and the valuations of our reason for existence, which is providing rental properties to tenants. So I think it's now something that's kind of taken on a life of its own, which will go before the judiciary, and then we'll have to see what transpires from there.
Now, looking at your last 6 months, you've really been quite busy. You closed just over R1 billion in strategic acquisitions, Berg River Business Park, Consani Industrial Park, Maynard Mall. We've spoken about many of them, a blended yield of 9.54%. How are those bedding down? And is there anything in those that surprised you, either positively or negatively, now that you've really got your hands dirty with the assets?
Yeah, so we are still early days, so no surprises just yet. We are still just waiting for one Competition Commission approval for Consani. But for the most part, if I look at the investment case that we built for all three of the acquisitions, they have all aligned or slightly outperformed that investment case from a renewal perspective, from a closing rental versus opening rental perspective. So we're very happy. And also given the fact that all three of those assets already have embedded PV solar, we can also see how the lack of load shedding is starting to also help those PV solar systems perform better.
Interesting that your loan-to-value ratio, your LTV, is still just below 14%, which some might call exceptionally conservative. You did raise a big slug of equity earlier this year. Just take me through that gearing strategy. Is it a deliberately defensive posture? Are you gearing up for some bigger deals later on?
Yeah, so when we pay away for the most recent acquisitions, this is obviously as at end of August. When we pay away for the recent acquisitions, that'll probably normalize to the, call it 30 percentile, which is still below our 38 to 43% internal band. But what it does, it gives us capacity to do more deals. We currently have about 300 million of additional pipeline opportunities we're looking at the moment, in addition to some development opportunities in George, in Pardon Island, as well as in Blackheath. So that kind of balance sheet margin that we have is deliberately there to accommodate those acquisitions, plus the development activity as we unlock this underlying bulk within the Spear portfolio.
I take it that's going to be your focus over the second half.
Correct. Yeah. Stabilization of income from the new acquisitions, 100%. The planned commencement of the first building in George, all things being equal. And then obviously the once we get plan approval for our development in Blackheath Park, Bravo Park expansion extension 2, we would then look to pull the trigger on that as well.
And you've set a target here to scale to R15 billion in assets and R9 billion in market cap over the next decade. There's obviously the potential FTSE JSE All Prop Index inclusion, which could happen in March of next year. How significant would that index inclusion be for Spear in terms of liquidity and institutional shareholder participation?
I think it's very significant. You know, there are still mandates that are held by institutional investors that are not permitted to invest into non-indexed property funds. And the liquidity providers of those mandates are significant. So it actually has quite a material impact on our investor universe in terms of an expansion of our investor universe. But all things being equal, we've seen a dramatic increase in liquidity over the last 6 months. And I can imagine that there's probably also some potential pre-positioning of ALP inclusion, because when the JSE announces the new ALP, fund managers don't want to be caught off guard. So I can imagine there's a bit of positioning that's taking place even now. But interestingly enough, regardless of whether SPEAR is indexed yet or not, 65% of our register is institutionally owned, which just talks to the fact that institutional capital recognizes the quality of the portfolio, recognizes the consistency of the earnings, and recognizes the fact that the Western Cape is the investment case for South Africa.
That was Quinton Rossi, CEO of SPEAR REIT, with two-thirds of its assets soon to be solar-powered, a potential JSE all-prop inclusion on the horizon. SPEAR looking to remain one of the, I would say, more interesting counters to watch into 2026. You're listening to Classic Business.
Classic Business with Michael Avery, sponsored by Alex Forbes, for insight, advice, and impact.